Our text comes from Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. Please turn there in your Bibles or your bulletins. And as you're turning there, you'll notice the subscript of the psalm says, "A Psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple." So this was a psalm that the people of Israel sang as the temple that Solomon built was dedicated. All the sacrifices were being had and the people were lifting up their voices in praise to the Lord. So that's the context of the psalm here. Before we read it, let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that you have given us this day to worship you. We pray that your word would land on our hearts and it would lift us up and encourage us. It would admonish us and it would cause us to love you more. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Hear God's word. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. You have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry in the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever." June 14th, 2014, 1 p.m. I stood on a stage much like this one as I watched my soon-to-be wife come down the aisle. And she joined me on the stage, and her pastor, David Whitla, preached the wedding sermon, and my pastor, James Ferris, officiated and gave us the wedding charge. And I don't remember anything that they said. But what I do remember are the words that my wife and I said to one another, the vows that we gave to one another. As we vowed to one another before God and before witnesses that we would be faithful to one another in our sickness or in our health, or in their sickness or their health. In all of life's circumstances, we have pledged to be faithful to one another. And as we read this text, you'll see that David has found himself in various life circumstances as well. He's in a state of sickness at the beginning of the chapter, and towards the middle, he's in a state of great prosperity. And regardless of the situation that David finds himself in, or that you find yourself in, the call from this psalm is to praise the Lord in your sickness and in your health. The psalm starts off with David saying, "I will extol you, Lord. I will lift up my praise, my adoration to you." And why is he saying this? What's the motivation for David declaring that he will be faithful, declaring his worship, extolling the Lord? Well, you see, it says, "Because you have not let my foes rejoice over me. I cry to you for help. You have healed me. You have brought my soul up from Sheol." David is experiencing some type of sickness that has just wiped him out, where he's unable to do anything. He's unable to even stand. The verse 1 says, "I will extol you, for you have drawn me up." David cannot even move, and it takes the Lord stooping down and drawing him up and placing him on his feet and healing him. And this is why David is worshiping the Lord, why he's extolling the Lord, because he has saved him from death. He has saved him from Sheol. Many of us have similar experiences to David, don't we? We've all experienced some type of sickness, some more serious than others. But you know what it's like to have the flu, to be wiped out, be on your bed, unable to eat, unable to drink. And if your experience is like my experience, you can say, how long, O Lord, am I on this bed? Well, some of us have had the tragic experience of being in the doctor's office, and the doctor comes in and says, I'm sorry, but the biopsy came back and you have cancer, or you have Alzheimer's, or some other disease, and you know that death is imminent. And maybe you haven't had that experience, but you know people who have. Maybe it's your spouse, your brother, your father, your grandparents, your children. We all have experienced this COVID pandemic. And in a way, not like any other, we've all had to wrestle with our own mortality. Where some of us have gotten the disease. We know people who have the disease. We know people who have died from the disease. And we're left questioning, am I going to die? Am I going to die? And that's the same thing that David's wrestling with here. And the Lord in his providence heals David. And the Lord in his providence can heal you. And many of you have already experienced that type of healing before. And so what's that cause us to do but to worship the Lord? And many of us, when we're healed, we either think, oh man, thank goodness for Pepto-Bismol. Thank goodness for the doctors. Thank goodness for modern medicine. And we say yes and amen. But we thank God first and foremost. For it is God ultimately who has healed us. God is the one who ultimately protects us from the grave. Now, what puts David in the position of sickness here? How did he get where he is? Well, the psalm doesn't tell us, but we can read it and we can speculate. And I'd like to present something that I think is plausible for why that happens. Look at verse 6. We'll skip down the happy stuff here for a second. Look at verse 6. David is saying this. He's saying, as for me, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. David is saying, look at my glory, look at my power, look at my accomplishments. This is from me. You can't touch me. Nothing can take me down. What hubris and what pride. And in the very next verse, verse 7, what's it say? By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. David is writing this in hindsight. But at first he's saying, this whole kingdom, everything that I have accomplished is because of what I have done. And then in hindsight, he recognizes, actually, no. It's by the favor of the Lord who makes his mountain stand strong. And we can look at David and we can say, of course it's by the Lord. Why would you ever say, in your prosperity you shall not be moved? David's not that different than us. David's not that different from others in the scriptures. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3 and 4. And Daniel 3, of course, is where he builds that great statue and he calls on the people to worship the statue, worship him. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't. And so he throws them in the furnace. And then a fourth member, one like the Son of Man, is walking around with them. And Nebuchadnezzar calls them out. He says, this one looks like the Son of God. And he declares that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall not be mocked. And he comes so close to making a declaration of faith then and there. And then in the next chapter, he has this dream about him being glorified, or glorifying himself rather, and then taking the credit for that, and then the Lord punishing for it. But the chapter goes on, and the dream is fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar is walking on his roof, and he says, look at everything I've done, look at my accomplishments, and the Lord strikes him down and turns him into a raving lunatic. And the Lord can do that with you, and he can do that with me. And how many of us think the things that we've done are a result of our own strength, and we fail to give glory to God and recognize that our gifts and our talents and our abilities come from the Lord? Many of you here are students at Geneva, And you've worked hard to get there, and I trust that you're working hard while you're there now. And you look forward to the day of graduation. You look forward to where you go out into the workplace, and you look forward to being able to influence the world with all of the things that you've done. And hopefully you'll think, I'm going to use my talents and my skills and abilities to work hard and to advance the kingdom of God. And you could say, I worked hard here. I've done this. Many people here we know teach at Geneva, and you can think, I've invested in these students. Look at everything that they're doing. And it's because I put so much time into them. Or mothers, you work hard with your children. And as they go off and do, I trust, great things, we can be filled with pride and yet fail to thank the Lord for his covenant faithfulness. Or families, we're Reformed, we love family worship. And family worship is a wonderful thing. We do family worship. We spend time with our families. We bring them to church. We go to church. We participate in all these activities. And we expect, because we've done all these things, then our children will turn out a certain way, or our families will turn out a certain way. And, you know, in the Lord's faithfulness, when they do turn out well and our families are blessed, are we quick to thank the Lord, or are we quick to thank the things that we've done? And if we're not quick to thank the Lord in his providence, he may strike us down with hardships. And that's what he does with David. As David is saying, in my prosperity, you can't touch me. I shall not be moved. The Lord moves him immediately, and he strikes him down. And we don't exactly know what the sickness was that David had. As we read the accounts of David's life in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and Chronicles, we're never told that he got sick in one of those. But we are told at the end of 2 Samuel, where David's kingdom is at its greatest, at its mightiest. And you remember, he calls for a census to be taken of all his land. He wants to know how many men he has, how many horses he has, how big is his army. And the report comes back, 80,000 men, 500,000 fighting men. In Deuteronomy, before there was even a king on the throne, commanded the kings not to take a census, to not put their trust in horses, to not put their trust in chariots. And yet this is what David does. He puts his trust in men, not in the Lord. And then Gad, the prophet, comes to David and he says, this is what the Lord says. You have sinned against God. And because of your sin, you have three choices. You can either experience a three-year famine in the land. You can be on the run for 3 months from men. Or you can have a three-day plague in the land. And David's been on the run before, and he says, no, I don't want to cast my trust in the mercy of men, but I'll cast myself on the mercy of God. And he picks the three-day plague. And you remember the story, the plague comes through the land and wipes out 70,000 men, 70,000 women. Now, perhaps it's plausible that David was struck down with this plague as well. We don't know. We're not told. But I find it plausible to think that perhaps he was. And he repents. In verse 8, he says, to you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? Will the dust praise you? Will it sing of your faithfulness? He's asking, God, what do you gain if I die? The dirt, is it going to sing to you? Is it going to worship you? And we know what Jesus says in the Gospels, that he can cause the trees and the mountains to worship him. And the mountains do display the glory of God. You can't help but drive through the hills of Pennsylvania and see these things and see, wow, God is great. God is glorious. But the mountains will never articulate that. You are image bearers of God. And as image bearers, your primary calling in life is to worship the Lord with your words and with your thoughts and with your deeds. And that's what David is saying. Lord, preserve me so that I can continue to lift your name up in worship. And the Lord does. The Lord does preserve him. But I have a question. Where is David now? Where is David? David's dead. David's body has decomposed. David's body is dust. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, so what about this psalm? I mean, this is a great psalm for David then, but ultimately he still died. So what are we to do with this? Because it seems like Sheol wins. It seems like his soul does go down to the pit. What was the promise that God made David in 2 Samuel 7? That great Davidic covenant where the Lord comes to David and he says to David that from your descendants, there will always be someone on the throne of Israel. And David has sons. Remember the first king, Absalom, usurps the throne, dies. Solomon is established as the rightful king, dies. All the kings after him die. The nation splits. Most of the kings are wicked, and they all die, one after another. Does Sheol win? Does death win? No. No, it does not. Because you remember, of course, that Jesus came from the line of David. The scepter of Judah is in his hand and will not depart from him. And the Davidic covenant that the Lord gave to David in Samuel 7 is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is king. He comes and he dies. His body goes down to Sheol. But does it stay there? No, it does not stay there. Jesus rises from the dead. Jesus is the one who has overcome death. He has overcome Sheol. And it's because of this. It's because of this that we can read verses 5 and we can read verses 11 and 12 and we can mean them. For his anger is but a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. His anger, the Lord's anger for a moment, was placed upon Jesus on the cross. And Jesus dies, and Jesus rises again, and his favor is on you for a lifetime because of your union with Christ and because of the things that Jesus has done. Weeping may tarry in the night. And there still is weeping, and there still is death, and there still is sickness. But the sun is rising. The rays of the sun are peering over the mountaintops as we anticipate Jesus' return. And joy comes in the morning. It is because of Jesus that our mourning is turned into dancing. And it is because of Jesus that our sackcloths of wickedness are replaced with the righteous robes of Jesus. And we're able to sing and to glorify and to praise him in our sickness and in our health. Now, I've spent most of this psalm speaking individualistically. But remember, the psalm was sung at the dedication of the temple. This song is meant to be sung corporately. It's meant to be sung in the church. And if I can just make an observation. Friday night, we had our congregational meeting. And as your intern, I was sitting here in the back corner. And I was overwhelmed with gladness and thankfulness as I watched the congregation speak with one another and thank one another. Thank Pastor Gregory for all the work that he's done. Thank the elders and the deacons and the committee members and one another for the joint effort that you all are placing in one another and placing in this church. And I couldn't help but be glad. It was hard to sleep because I felt so much joy for this church. And I think at this point in the congregation's life, we're in a state of health and in a state of prosperity. And I heard everyone thanking one another, but I think behind all that thanks was thanking the Lord. And we should be thankful for that. We should rejoice in that. Yet with that comes a caution that we always need to have the Lord in our minds as we think about the things that he's doing here at Hope Community. As we serve, as we worship together, we must never say, for our prosperity, we shall not be moved. but always be relying on the Lord and always understanding that it's by His favor that He makes this pulpit stand strong, that He makes you stand strong. You are the bride of Christ. These are your wedding vows. That in your sickness individually, in your health individually, but also corporately, don't forget that, also corporately, as the Lord is pleased to bless this church and bring hardships on this church, that we are called to worship the Lord and to be thankful to the Lord in our sickness and in our health. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to you that you are the one who has made this church stand strong. Lord, you are the one who has established this church. You are the one who is sovereign over this church. You are king over this church. Lord, you are king over all churches, over all things. And we pray that as you bring upon different life circumstances to us individually, to us as a church, Lord, that we would worship you in our sickness and in our health. Amen.